Been a busy week in technology and with launches of various games consoles and different contraptions and different things. Two in particular that have hit the headlines and two in particular that have received widespread publicity. I discussed these two things with something of an expert. I'm joined now by Andy Robertson, who's a family gaming expert. Andy, welcome to TalkSport.
Hi there.
Andy, busy busy couple of weeks with the launch of the new iPad 2 and the Nintendo 3DS. Starting off with the iPad 2, it seems to come out rather quickly after the launch of the initial iPad.
Yeah, that is something that Apple do, that they do like to iterate their products pretty much on a yearly basis. So as long as you're in the know, it wouldn't be a surprise. But I should think there will be some people who will be thinking, hey, wait a minute, I've just bought an iPad and here comes another one.
Yeah, will many people who have the iPad now go and upgrade, or is this for people who didn't really have the first one?
Some people will habitually upgrade Apple products just because they need or like to have the latest thing.
Yeah, needs
I think
a strong
those
word,
who are
it?
Maybe watching their pockets a little bit more, there's not an awful lot here, I don't think, that would mean if you had an iPad 1, you'd need to upgrade to an iPad 2.
But it's got a camera on the front. It's completely different.
Yeah, I mean, you have cameras in other devices. But, yeah, for some people, that feature, which incorporates this FaceTime function on the iPad, will be something that they want, and they want it in one device rather than having to pick up their phone. Other people would be happy with that compromise of having it somewhere else.
What was it you called that? A SpaceTime?
FaceTime.
FaceTime?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, that's Apple's word for it, which is this like a video chat. So it's sort of, I guess it's them trying to rebrand a phone call into a FaceTime call.
Ugh. So it's Skype.
Yes, that's Skype basically yes.
Okay, cool. And apart from the camera on the front, is the iPad 2 dramatically different to the first iPad?
It is faster. The processor inside is you know, it's been upgraded. It's thinner, so that's one of the selling features they're pushing, is that it's easier to hold. One of the criticisms of the original iPad was it is slightly unwieldy and slightly heavy, and this one's lighter. It comes in two colours. Yes, but I mean the cameras are the main upgrade.
So I mean, when they launched the initial iPad, they must have known that people were going to moan about not having a camera on the front. I mean, this is all very carefully orchestrated, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think when launching products, they're obviously trying to aim at a particular price point. So there's always a compromise about the features they do and they don't include. Now, the more cynical among us, which sometimes includes me, would say that they maybe hold features back. But, you know, it's sort of down to them how they manage their product line. And they're pretty good keeping to that price. And that's something I think which is really positive about the iPad 2. If you get a lot more features, it performs better, but the price points are still the same.
So it's what, about £400? Is that how much they go for?
That's where it starts at for the one without 3G, just Wi-Fi and a 16 gig capacity.
And people are going to be a little bit aggrieved, aren't they? £400 is a lot of money to people. If they've sort of gone out and treated themselves to an iPad, and then that feels like, you know, that's out of date now.
Yes,
it's a lack of respect for their customers, isn't it?
I think the customers who care about having the latest products will be aware that this is something that Apple will do, and I would hope that the staff in Apple Store would be relatively transparent about the way that Apple would upgrade their hardware.
Fair enough. Have you got an iPad yourself?
I've not. No.
All right. Good on you. So you're not tempted at all.
No, but I mean, for me, I've got an iPhone, and there's not enough difference between the iPhone and the iPad that would make me want to upgrade.
It's bigger.
Yeah. Actually, I was in the Apple Store today, saying just that, and that was the response the salesman had as well. You know, if I want to watch a bigger picture, I'll go to a computer or watch my TV. And I don't think the iPad's a device that I'd be comfortable taking out and about around town or on a train, just because it's quite unwieldy. And it's very obvious you've got it, and it's obviously quite an expensive bit of kit as well. So, obviously, it's a personal choice, but that's where I am at the moment. I haven't been tempted quite yet.
Now, other manufacturers of these so-called tablets are struggling to catch up with Apple, aren't they? Are tablets the future now of the laptop market?
I think there's a particular chunk of the laptop market where they've really taken a slice, and it's the sort of netbook area where you had a sort of a sub-notebook that was used for very specific specific reasons, like browsing the internet or reading your email or maybe just writing a few emails. But where the iPad is very strong is in content consumption, which is a term that means you're viewing or you're reading media rather than creating. Where the laptops and netbooks are still strong is if you need to create something, it's hard for these tablets to compete. And actually, that was if you listen carefully to the sort of marketing videos that Apple produced alongside the iPad 2, that was something they were focusing on, is trying to create more of a content creation sort of ethos behind the device.
Okay, so at the moment, it's basically just for watching DVDs and going on the internet with.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can do a lot of things with it, but most of those things are focused around consuming content rather than creating content. And in some ways, you could see it almost like it's not laptops that the iPad was really aiming at. It's more like the TV, and it's more likely to replace those sorts of screens in our house. So maybe we won't have a big TV that we all watch. We'll have smaller screens that are sort of...
We can all have a different one on our lap, and then we don't even need to talk to each other at all.
Yeah, and we can put headphones on.
Wonderful.
But we can still send each other emails, of course.
Yes. Now, an area of genuine innovation, and one that has got people, I think, a little more excited than the iPad 2, is the Nintendo 3DS, which is the handheld games console, where you can watch it in 3D without the need for 3D glasses.
Yeah, that's right. And this is a very different launch to the iPad. It's not just a revision, although it may sound similar because obviously we've had the DS already and it's a sort of a new version. But this is essentially a completely new bit of hardware, and it's all built around this new screen technology.
And have you played on one yet? Have you seen it?
Yes, I had one to try out with the family a little bit before launch. So, we were sort of lucky enough to sort of put it through its paces over the last few weeks.
Impressed with it?
Yes, I mean, the screen is very impressive. I think the experience of seeing a 3D image without having to wear sort of cumbersome glasses and without having to sort of worry about providing glasses for everybody who's using it... It's definitely something I hadn't experienced before.
So, I mean, how impressive is the 3D? Does it really feel like it's leaping out at you or not?
I mean, for me, it's pretty much the same as when you watch a 3D TV, which, in some ways, isn't sort of light and day away from a 2D experience, but there is a sense of depth and there is a greater sense of sort of brightness and space within the image. So rather than just looking at a flat sort of piece of paper, it's more like looking into a little window. And when you're playing a video game like that, it does affect the experience and it affects how it feels to play it.
And some people I know that have played it say it hurt their head after a while.
Yeah, I mean, different people perceive images in different ways, and your eyes and your brain are doing quite a lot of work when you're viewing this, because each eye is getting fed a different image slightly, and then obviously your brain puts those together and thinks it's seeing a 3D. The device does advise you to take a 10-minute break every half an hour of playing, and also that it should only be used by people of age 7 and up, which is
pretty much everyone.
Stop developing.
Yeah, I mean, 7's not, it's not like they're saying 18 and up, is it?
Yeah, it's true. Although there is a slight tension here because the DS is traditionally a console that, it's very strong with a very young audience, and perhaps younger children would first play video games on a DS before they would perhaps be allowed to have a 360 and other sort of more grown-up experiences. So there's a slight, as I say, there's a slight tension there between the age limit and the audience that Nintendo is traditionally focused on.
And the technology they've used to create this 3D image, presumably now is going to be mirrored in 3D TVs and iPads and everything else in the future. We're looking at 3D without goggles, are we?
Well, it will be mirrored, but only in a similar context, because it works. The screen's a lenticular screen, so it works by essentially firing a different image at your eyes because you're directly in front of the screen, and because you're holding the screen, you can control it, so get it in just the right spot, which means if someone sat slightly to the left or slightly to the right of you, they won't see the image properly, or they'll probably see a doubled image, and it really only works for one person, which is why, in the short term at least, I don't think this will be a way to replace the use of glasses if you've got groups of people watching a single screen.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, eventually, that's what... Maybe not necessarily using this technology then, but 3D without glasses would be the aim, would it?
I think so. I mean, for me, a 3D TV, it's not only the fact you've got to wear glasses, it's the cost as well, because those aren't particularly cheap. And then it's the fact you've all got to sort of sit in the living room all wearing these sort of slightly odd-looking spectacles. It feels a little bit... I mean, the novelty is quite fun, but I think it just gets a bit of a hassle after a while, so... If someone does manage to produce a 3D TV that we don't have to wear glasses, that would certainly be the seller. But I think what you'll see is things like phones and other similar devices to the 3DS, which will be much more able to adopt this technology. So you have a 3D phone.
Like an iPhone?
Potentially. Although you know, you have to make compromises. And I think it's interesting that on the 3DS, they've kept the touch screen and the 3D screen separate. So the lower screen is still where you interact with the game, and that's the bit where you press your stylus, and the top bit is separate and is in a wider format as well. To combine those on something like an iPhone would potentially compromise that 3D effect, I think.
Ah, got you. Well, it's all very interesting, Andy. I'm sure we'll talk again when we see new innovations in the market. For the time being, Andy Robertson, thanks so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Talk Sport's got a drive time show that really delivers. The latest.